Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. It is time for our Capitol Call, and good morning, Senator Daniels. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I hope Bartlesville's doing well on this sunny but coolish day.
Representative Strom, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this day because it sounds like it's going to get pretty bad over the next few days.
Yeah, we're going to have a few that are going to be in the questionable category. Mm-hmm. Our Capitol Calls is brought to you by Phillips 66. And I guess congratulations, Representative Strom. You are a floor leader. What does this entail?
I'm on the floor leader team. And so I get to take part, go in with the floor leader, and we decide what bills hit the floor and when. We work on scheduling those, watching them come out of the Senate and trying to get them in our appropriate committees. And just one more thing to add to the havoc at the Capitol. So it's been exciting, though.
We need to keep Representative Strom more occupied.
Is that what this is all about?
He is always looking for other things to do. So this is a good use of his talents.
I think that they're trying to keep me out of trouble, mostly, because they just keep throwing things at me. And
so. I didn't say it that way.
No, nor was it inferred. So, Senator, what's it like to have people around you out there at the Capitol? You've got a few more than you did last year.
Yes. We have several new members, but in terms of just people in the building, it's still a fairly quiet place. Mm-hmm. Groups aren't coming in so much. We did have one group this week, and I'll talk about that bill in a minute. But it's really fairly quiet, and because of the volume of bills submitted from last year, the Senate went ahead and started committee meetings this week, which never done. So I actually held a Judiciary Committee meeting on Tuesday to sort through some of the 144 bills that were assigned to my committee, still deciding, of course, which of those simply cannot be heard because of the constraints of time with only four committee meetings. Mm-hmm. And we had a significant Health and Human Services meeting this week, and I'm a member of that committee. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on Energy, and we met. So the Senate jumped right into doing business.
Now, Judd, I understand that as far as the budget is concerned, it's kind of hurry up and wait.
It really is. We're waiting. Probably next week we hope to get numbers back from the Board of Equalization, which says, it looks at what we have, what's brought in, what we expected, what we're going to be able to spend or appropriate. And until we get those numbers, we really just can't come up with any hard numbers to work with in the budget. We're working on estimates right now. So we're anxiously anticipating those numbers to come in next week.
And are you paring down the bills on the House side as well?
We are. We've actually made a few through this year. We didn't go to work as hard as the Senate. We are waiting on a few bills that come from the Senate, kind of emergency rush bills, such as the Open Meetings Act bills. We want to get people to be able to to get back to work virtually or to take part in a meeting virtually. We've been through rules. We've been trying to get things organized, starting this week, we'll start going pretty hard.
You're listening and watching. Of course, you can do this on Facebook Live to our Capitol Call, brought to you by Phillips 66 right here on K1 and on our Facebook page. On the Senate side, you said you've been moving right along, really kind of taking care of business and churning away.
Yes, that's right. My Judiciary Committee took up, I think, 12 or 14 bills this week. One in particular that I had that's generating some interest is to propose to put the Judicial Nominating Commission under the purview of the Open Meetings Act, which would allow the public to watch the appointed members of the commission decide which three names will be submitted to the governor, from which he gets to select justices to the Supreme Court, the Court of Criminal Appeals, the Court of Civil Appeals, and when there's a vacancy in a district judge seat in one of the counties. Often they don't have special elections. The JNC submits three of those names to the governor. So they have quite an important role to play in populating our judiciary, which, of course, as we all know, plays a very major role in our lives. We're paying more attention to that now because of the decisions in the different states over election laws. So I believe that the citizens of the state of Oklahoma would appreciate the opportunity to watch that decision-making in process. I did make a change to the bill from last year. It passed committee and the Senate last year, which is that they can have a great volume of people apply to be considered for a seat on the Supreme Court or one of the other courts. And so they have to weed those out and decide how many they actually want to interview. So we made a provision that they could go into executive session to take, all those names and decide which ones will be interviewed. And also go into executive session to to discuss OSBI background reports and financial reports, anything of a sensitive private nature with a candidate. But then otherwise, we wanted to see the interview and their deliberations and their vote in an open meeting. So that has advanced from committee. I don't know when I might schedule to hear it on the floor. So that's a significant reform measure that I carried this week.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've had some visitors, I guess, at the Capitol, but special interest folks, I guess, have arrived in town, haven't they, Judd?
They have, and as we were discussing before, usually by this time, the Capitol's full of visitors. You have tourists, you have schools coming through, you have, you know, just a bevy of lobbyists and everyone there, and it's a very active building. It's a, I think it kind of buffers some of the louder visitors. We had a very exciting week with people coming in that were very excited about legislation, I suppose is a soft way to put it. And it was far more quiet, but a little more, I was a little more nervous this week than I've been before as far as people coming through and how they were, how they handled themselves in the Capitol. But it's been exciting.
And now as a floor leader, you got some kind of interesting responsibilities too. But also people come to you kind of wanting to bend your ear a little bit, I guess, when it comes to bills. Have you worked out a system by which to, you know, kind of prioritize how this is going to roll for you?
Absolutely. I mean, we have our official duties through through the floor team, and this time of year as well, I and the senator as well, we spend an incredible amount of time just reading bills, trying to figure out what is coming through. We've discussed as well, we'll have different representatives that'll come in and have the same bill, and we try to figure out, you know, can you co-author, can we drop one and run the other, can we look at the language and see what we can pull out of both and put together a good solid bill from both. Now sometimes egos get in the way and people just kind of harden to the idea of dropping a bill and letting someone else run it. Sometimes they're excited to be able to work together and both go in and push some good legislation through.
So you have to kind of be a mediator type of fellow these days.
I spend a lot of time mediating. I think I'm kind of a, I don't know if I'm just because I'm a nice guy or what, but I've been in several situations where I'd come in and someone say, you've got to do something about this. And like, I don't have anything to do with any of these things, but I go down the hall and bring people together and try to get them to discuss these things, and it's been productive so far. We've been able to make some good deals.
And of course, being a committee chair, you do that kind of stuff all the time, don't you?
I do that, and obviously the committee chair has the right to decide which bills are heard, so yeah. I spent the afternoon yesterday consulting with some colleagues who have submitted a good handful of bills to my committee, saying, I'm not going to hear these ones, but of the others, would you please prioritize them? Because if we can't get to all of them, I would at least like to hear the ones that are most important to you. Or as I said, will the earth stop spinning on its axis if we don't hear that bill this year? Because sometimes bills are timely. And, you know, there's a log jam somewhere in the statutes that are preventing something from happening that needs to happen. So you need to take care of those. But I do want to address what we did in Health and Human Services this week.
Do.
We voted on a number of pro-life abortion restriction bills. The one that was most important to me to vote on was one brought by Senator Treat, known in the vernacular as a trigger bill. It says that at the time that Roe versus Wade and the Casey bill are overturned by the Supreme Court, and our Attorney General certifies to Oklahoma legislature that those decisions have been overturned and that it is once again the responsibility of the states through their elected officials to determine how to allow or not allow for abortions in their state. That at that time, all of our life-protecting bills that we have layered upon layer over the years since the Roe decision would automatically be repealed. And abortion would once again be illegal in Oklahoma because we have a statute now from 1910 that is still on the books. Anyone who administers an abortion in Oklahoma is guilty of a felony and must serve no less than 2 years, no more than 5 years in the Department of Corrections. That law has been there on the books forever, but it lies dormant because of the 1973 Roe decision. There are a group of people within the pro-life movement. There's sadly a schism now in the pro-life movement. I work with Oklahomans for Life, the National Right to Life Foundation, the Susan B. Anthony Group, the Heritage Foundation. All of these are pro-life groups. But there's a group now, and they call themselves abolitionists, and they put forward a bill this week to abolish abortion in Oklahoma completely, to allow for it to prevent the death of a mother, but otherwise that there will be no abortions in Oklahoma, and that any court decision saying that that bill is unconstitutional will be ignored. And we will ignore Roe versus Wade. We will ignore any regulation handed down by any government entity that says that protects the right to an abortion. And so I believe that that is an irresponsible way to approach this topic. The bill was proposed for 2 years, but finally this year we decided we need to hear this bill. We have a new colleague elected this last cycle who brought this bill. It is extremely important to him and those who join him in this movement. Mm-hmm. I believe that we are all pro-life together, but this group has decided that this is the one solution right now to this issue. And we unanimously voted as Republicans and Democrats this week to defeat that bill. Mm-hmm. Now, their reasoning is that there is no right to an abortion in the Constitution. That right to privacy is a penumbra of rights that the Supreme Court created that is not in the Constitution, and therefore that if you truly believe in the Constitution and your constitutional oath, you have to oppose all abortion right now. And you have to ignore those who didn't uphold the Constitution, including those justices on the Supreme Court in 1973 and any other judicial decision that has come down since then. It's just an unfortunate and sad division mm-hmm. among those who work to protect life. And we did vote that bill down, and passions and emotions are running very high. And all I can say is that I stand firmly pro-life. That group now says that I'm not allowed to say that that is my position. But I do stand by being pro-life. And we also addressed a couple of other issues. We passed a Senator Dom bill that further restricts abortion in our state. It very carefully defines a medical emergency mm-hmm. that would allow for it. And otherwise, it's a felony to perform an abortion. Probably still something that wouldn't be upheld by the courts. And I ran two restrictive bills on chemical abortions because the Biden administration is poised to undo the FDA guidelines that help govern those abortions in the states. I just say one other thing because I know we're short on time. In Senator Hamilton's bill, one of the things I'm concerned about is that it presents a live round to a court. There are some state courts that have considered whether or not there is a right to an abortion in a state constitution. We haven't had that happen in Oklahoma yet. The Kansas Supreme Court made reference to it in a decision last year. My worry is that that bill would go to the Supreme Court and they would say, no, this bill is illegal. But by the way, we believe there is a right to an abortion in the state constitution, and so we repeal all of your life-protecting laws, because his bill says mm-hmm. they are repealed. And you are then left with a situation where a state Supreme Court says there's a right to abortion in Oklahoma and all your life-protecting laws are gone. Now, that may be far-fetched on my part, mm-hmm. but I think that's a very real worry. So that is another reason I voted no.
Thank you very much. John, what's your schedule looking like moving forward? You're working on the budget, but you got to wait for things to happen. What's your hot list this week?
My hot list this week is we have had a lot of bills moved into committee. I also serve on judiciary, criminal judiciary, and business and commerce. And those where we've only had a couple of bills, I admire, you know, what you've had to go through the last week. So far I've had the opportunity to vote on a pharmacy audit bill, which it's not near the heavy topic you've had to deal with. But we will be populating those committees this week, and so we will be working in committee to get bills through and get them ready to go on the floor.
All righty. Representative Strom, Senator Daniels, thanks for being with us here on the Capitol Call, and it's been brought to you by our good friends at Phillips 66.